Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
First time I ever heard about the flat earthers was, I think, when I was in space last. And I saw the stuff on social media. I can't believe I'm talking about this.
Hi, I'm Pac Romaine.
Hi, I'm Chris Chen. And you're listening to SubDoc, the premier podcast about documentaries run by two comedians that live in different cities.
On today's episode, we recap Behind the Curve, Daniel J. Clark's look behind the curtain of the flat earth movement, currently streaming on Netflix. Clark follows the highly online, self-appointed flat earth conspiracists who may just be misguided scientists in search of like-minded souls. But there's plenty of unintentional comedy on this trail to blow the globe cult wide open.
Our guest is comedian Sean Keane. Sean has written for Comedy Central's Another Period, True TV's Billy on the Street, and produced the imaginary radio program for CISO. In 2014, the San Francisco Bay Guardian named Sean an outstanding local discovery and then promptly went out of business. He also hosts the Roundball Rock basketball podcast.
And now, here's our conversation with Sean.
And welcome to the show and my home. Welcome, Sean Keane.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be here on the show and in your home.
Yes. And I got you water. I hope you like water.
It's delicious.
Yeah. I have a friend who just went to go to shoot a documentary about water, about people that are water tasters.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. And I'm like, this sounds like this could be like a Christopher Guest type, mockumentary type thing. He's like, he sent me a photo of one of the dudes. I'm like, you found your dudes. You found some weirdos for sure.
What are they tasting the water for?
Different corporations that do different bottled waters, like, show up there. And then there's guys that, like, do, like, water, like, well, this water was bathed in crystals in the light, in the moon, you know, that
in
kind
moon
of.
Water.
So it's, like, a bit of, like, new age mixed with, like, corporate water people. And then, like, it's just, like, sounds like a real weird thing. So it reminded me of this film that we're about to talk about, which is my great intro, by the way.
Yeah.
Behind the Curve. Oh boy. Behind the Curve, a film by Daniel J. Clark about the flat earth movement.
It almost felt like community.
Yeah, it does feel like a community. It reminded me of like, I think you don't get there till the end, though, really, that it feels so communal. Like, when they actually are, like, merging together at their conference in North Carolina. I'm going to North Carolina, and now I'm, like, worried a little bit.
Nah. Well, what's funny is that conference is, I mean, they mention it in the doc, but that giant globe, the giant round globe that's out front of the conference, the Flat Earth Conference. So, I mean, I think the obvious question is just hanging right there. Do you guys believe that the earth is flat? And have you ever met a flat earther?
You know, it's funny because simultaneously with me watching Behind the Curve, my girlfriend's sister was going to see a documentary on the Apollo 11 mission. And so they were like happening
on IMAX
simultaneously. Yeah. So I was watching The Truth and she was watching a very elaborate Hollywood special effects production.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really want to see that Apollo 11 IMAX doc.
It's great. I think you have to go to Sherman Oaks to see it in IMAX.
I got invited to a screening of that, but I was not able to go. But I guess we still have time to see it.
Yeah.
I actually am not into space movies. I didn't see First Man. I was like, I don't know if I need to see this. I don't think I'm that into space that much, but I don't believe it's all fake. I watched Hidden Figures. I guess that was the last.
I mean, you know this. We make it to the moon. Spoiler. Like they get there.
So says this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
your continuity of if you believe in alternate realities or the Room 237 theory.
Stanley
Kubrick faked the moon landing. Also, yeah. The Denver airport came up as one of the options of a conspiracy. Did you notice that? When he's like looking at all the bookshelf of conspiracy. Do you know about the Denver airport?
Well, I know they have that like demon horse statue and then a bunch of like Illuminati designs inside. Mm-hmm. Why? I still don't know what – I don't necessarily believe it's a conspiracy. I just don't know what the like stated reason is.
For the horse sculpture?
The horse is – I mean, I kind of get it. Mm-hmm. It's – you know, they have the Broncos, and it is, I think, a local sculptor.
I just got that.
Yeah, but I don't know why the markings on the inside of the airport are that crazy. And I'm not sure, like, I don't know what the regular non-conspiracy explanation is supposed to be.
I just, like, I used to think conspiracies were kind of fun, conspiracies. Like, in the 90s, conspiracies were, like, kind of, like, I think more left-wing. And then there was a flip sometime during, I don't know, Obama?
Maybe the invention of Facebook?
Yeah, which was during Obama, right the end of the Bush era, yeah.
I like that they call that horse Blucifer in Denver.
Yeah, Blucifer. Didn't it kill the sculptor, too? Like it landed on him?
Holy shit, I don't know, did it? I didn't know that. Mm. It's gigantic. It could kill lots of people if it fell. Mm-hmm. I think, and also there's... every conspiracy theory generally has a genesis of like a Indian burial ground, you know, or I think that this one has the same. I think that was part of it is that they built it on some Indian burial ground.
Yeah. Well, short answer, I believe the Earth is flat. So let's keep going into my favorite movie. No, I mean, I grew up with the scientist dad and like I had to do all these weird, like I did you know, when you have to do like your science experiment project, I did something about like the horizon and like the moon and shit. So I'm like, yeah, this has been like something I've known for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, and I would say the scientific experiments in the Flat Earth documentary are not, they're not representing a Flat Earth. They're all failing and essentially saying that the Earth is round every time they do it.
Yeah. And there's, there is, like, the logic that, like, I can see Seattle, therefore the Earth is flat. Do you know what a horizon is, right? That's what the horizon doesn't look curved, I guess, is his only argument.
So our main guy's Mark Sargent, and his name is really easy to remember because he's always wearing a t-shirt that says, I am Mark Sargent.
Yeah.
And he tells like five different stories about people recognizing him in public, which is very much like a Trump rally speech where there's always someone's like, sir, thank you for what you've done. And that's also what Mark Sargent is experiencing a lot. He was the guy where his discovery of that the Earth was flat. He said it was this Jerry Maguire moment where he was just staying up all night and then wrote a manifesto, and which, if you remember the movie, is what gets Jerry Maguire fired because that's something that someone who does a lot of cocaine would do.
Yeah, I was actually confused when he said Jerry Maguire moment. I'm just like, show me the money.
Yeah, is he quitting and taking a fish with him?
Is he coming back to confess his love to someone? Oh, yeah, that does come up.
Oh my god.
the tension, the sexual chemistry that exists. Whew. Oh man!
Yeah, would you say that's the emotional heart of the film?
It's hard to find the emotional part of this film. You know, like when you're dealing with like such nerds as flat Earth types. But yeah, I mean the Patricia Steer, is that her name?
Yes.
His eventual co-host.
Uh huh.
I like that she says Morrissey's not a flat earther. Yet. I'm like, I think he's on his way.
Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure he's... You don't want to dive too deep into what Morrissey believes, I believe, as well. But yeah, there's that...
What if all Latinos just get into Flat Earth?
He's like, oh. Oh, the Cholo Flat Earth movement would be the greatest.
They'd love that bicycle, that motorcycle. Up later. Yeah.
I feel like Mark Sargent is definitely in love with Patricia Steer.
Oh,
I don't think Patricia Steer is in love with Mark Sargent.
I do have to say that when I was researching this film on IMDb, Daniel J. Clark, the filmmaker, also did this TV series called Friend Zone. Pretty appropriate.
My I watched this with my girlfriend, and at one point she said, "Do you think he thinks the friend zone is flat?"
That's amazing.
Why didn't you bring her to this podcast? Your girlfriend has to be on the podcast also now. Yeah, the wall of ice just does not make any sense. Nothing makes sense. Gravity, you just be. What do you the narcissism involved to think that everyone who believes this is in their own Truman Show makes no fucking sense.
Oh, it's really strange. Yeah.
Yeah. The physical model makes no sense to me.
When the filmmaker asks him, when he has that Truman Show story, says like, "Well, you're like the mayor of the flat earth." Also, his concept of a mayor was that a mayor had stretch limos, mistresses, and all the money. It's like, yeah. This guy hasn't met a mayor either. He hasn't seen a globe or.
Well, I think the documentary is very funny. It's like edited like a comedy movie, you know?
Yeah.
And I think they do a good job of showing, like, one of my favorite things about Mark is him saying, "I don't want to be famous. I just fell into this. I didn't find Flat Earth. Flat Earth found me."
Yes.
And simultaneously wearing shirts like, "I am Mark Sargent." Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's pretty incredible.
They recognized me. Yeah, someone said, "You're Mark Sargent," and you're wearing a shirt that says, "I'm Mark Sargent."
The airport security guy said that. I'm like, that makes me feel good about airport security. Pretty sure.
He also stares into an eclipse. That's right. One thing he does.
Yeah.
And then after that happens, immediately afterwards, he's wearing glasses for the first time in the film. And you're like, I think he hurt his eyes. I think he really hurt his eyes.
He does have kind of like he has like kind of like nice eyes. Like if he has anything that's going to get Patricia Skier interested in him, it's like his kind of like blank, but kind of like, you know, an interesting color eye.
Yeah. And he's like, he comes really close to actually flirting in a lot of moments.
Right.
But unfortunately, it's only flat earth based flirting. And
right.
I kind of feel like Patricia Skier wants to date outside the flat earth community.
We don't know why her short relationship in London ends. And I think it could easily be that was the reason.
Yeah. Although Mark Sargent does say he would have murdered her cats to avoid the customs on a cat importation.
Just get new cats, man.
That's
they've all
hilarious.
Been on planes too, so they've seen like more. They've seen what the Earth looks like from above. But I guess that's not even doing it for anyone.
Yeah, I mean, she flew
from
London to Iceland at one point in the film. Like,
she's like, this is not. I think that I am gullible enough to believe stuff that people tell me, but this is just one that I just can't even like get close to. But I did find this film very funny.
Yeah, I think the best part is when they're at some kind of NASA museum.
Oh yes.
And they're heckling the they're talking about how everything's broken because he keeps trying to hit start on a TV screen while there's a giant start button inches away from his hand.
Oh, this is in Houston, right? They go to Houston.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They road trip together. This is a very sad road trip.
Well, and they do a very clever bit of filming when they let them walk away and then the cameraman zooms in on the start button that
so
he missed.
Good.
You just want da 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 to play like over it. Yeah.
But so, yeah, I mean, the documentary, I mean, it's a good documentary as far as it's put together. Like it starts off with just one guy telling the story. And then we eventually get to the end where there's obviously a community involved. But was there something in this doc that you were like something you never thought about that they presented in any new way?
I didn't realize how much. And maybe this is so. OK, so one thing I noticed is every time they would show like a zoomed out version of a YouTube video that showed the page and the related videos, it becomes very obvious how you fall into this because you basically get the highest like the most viral videos on either side. So even if you're watching like a debunking of flat earth videos, Mark shows up in the shows up in the sidebar with his flat earth stuff. So it's like, oh, that's why all these conspiracies are related. And so obviously one guy who's constantly getting kicked off Facebook is also doing brain power exercises where he's reciting like he's really into supplements.
Oh yeah, Temecula Hammer Boy. I don't know his real name, but yeah.
It's whatever his name is, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Nathan.
So it's like the
Nathan Thompson.
Yeah, the algorithms are ruining everything again. It's the algorithms again. That's my conspiracy, I believe. The algorithms are ruining things for people.
Yeah. And even like the smallest, and because sometimes like I'll be on Twitter and it's like, oh man, everybody talking about the elections, you're just tearing each other down. And you just realize that maybe it is just something inherent to the internet itself. But when the flat earth community is tearing itself apart, talking about how like everybody else is a plant from NASA and like just throwing it out, like, yeah, like. That if you can't prove that the – if you can't accept that the Earth is round, you literally can't accept anything.
Anybody can believe whatever they want to believe about me. But I wonder if in their hearts, people who do that know they're lying. Or are they so conspiratorial that they actually believe it? Then it makes me worry about maybe things I believe in. Am I like another version of them? But I know I'm not.
If you have any kind of fame within such a niche community, you're going to just stand by everything at that point. You're like, I don't want to give this up.
Yeah.
And people are listening to me, watching me on YouTube, wondering if they can ever meet me. It's like, who would want to give that up at some point? You know?
I was like thinking about it, watching this. I'm like how small the community is. I'm just like, man, we're three comedians from San Francisco. So we know what this feels like. Like, oh, I was had a little notoriety somewhere and then they walked away from it. So,
yeah. She casually reveals she doesn't believe in the Boston bombing at one point.
Oh, yeah. Or 9/11?
I think she, yeah.
The
yeah.
powers that should not be the is also her great phrase she uses a lot. Oh, man.
Yeah, and at one point they talk about how flat earth conspiracies are better than other conspiracies because you've never heard a happy folk song about 9/11, which I believe there probably are.
Yeah, yeah.
But probably. I have not heard one.
No, yeah.
That's a valid point. I mean... Yeah, and then we also – I think there's flat earth hip hop. I mean there's mm-hmm. you know, the flat earth thing is really starting to like spread. There's the flat earth globe that guy made.
The flat earth globe? So
the guy who was listening to flat earth hip hop, was that him listening to himself?
Oh.
Or was that a different – I kind of thought it might have been him. I'm not sure. Oh. It wasn't clear, I guess.
It was unclear. I also like that he got kicked out of a Starbucks for – telling a NASA guy he hated America.
Yeah. He was kicked out of so many things in this movie. Yeah. That
he had to create his own Facebook group because he was kicked out of every Facebook group.
But he also appears to just be yelling into parked cars to strangers about the flat earth.
Well, because he's got a camera behind him. Yeah. All these guys are so enabled by the fact that they have a camera behind them. Uh-huh. Mark is totally like just loving. He's like, yeah, look, they're making a film about me. This is awesome, right? Oh my God. That I guess could be a little bit like we're saying this is a lot like King of Kong.
In some way. Honestly, the part where they, well, also because Mark himself is a former world digital pinball.
That's right.
And it felt like, it really felt like if you just had the guys from King of Kong and you're like, all right, do whatever scientific experiments you want. And it would really turn out a lot like the laser experiment.
Oh man.
Yeah, I didn't even know you could commercially buy like a laser. I guess that's a good point. A laser was just going to turn into a giant green blob from far enough away.
So. Yeah.
And then he just cuts a hole in the middle. Also, like, how do they know how the ground level, like, are they not surveyors? You need like surveying equipment to even make sure like the height of everything you're doing. I'm like, oh man, this is like the kind of science experiment that I would have done as a kid if I had access to lasers then.
I think the most sympathetic character is Jaren's girlfriend.
Oh yeah.
Who comes along on the laser experiment and is just like, it takes us 2 hours to get home. Can we please leave?
Yeah.
He's like, just got to narrow the focus.
But he's still got a couple people that are going to be like, I'll come out next time. We got to come back out here. We got to, like, do this janky science experiment. Like, yeah. Like if they just, like, they're like, they should have just written to Mythbusters and been like, can you guys prove the Earth is round with, like, this exact same experiment? Like, if Mythbusters just did a full-on Flat Earth episode.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done. They don't do that show anymore, but maybe, yeah.
It could have brought it back. It just reminds me of, like, remember growing up and there was always that kids that were, like, on their bikes being like, we're going to go over to the haunted house, make sure, you know, like, we're going to prove it's haunted. Like, it's always, it has that kind of element to it where it's just like, we're going to, there's a buried treasure in the old lady's backyard.
Now,
we've heard about it.
Do you think that, like, this movie is for the believers or the non-believers? I think it's for the non-believers, but, like, I think believers will still, like that this is represented.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they still win.
For non-believers.
They still win, though. I mean, I feel they win because they get screen time.
Yeah, it's Trumpian. I mean, they can win on ignorance. I mean, it's that, you know, the Dunning-Kruger effect, like they were talking about.
Oh, yes. Hannelore was talking about.
Yeah.
It was a great name. Great character.
Hannelore Dunsmore something else. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, she's awesome. Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's good that the Daniel Clark, who directed this, put in the scientist, you know, point of view as well. You know, it's good that it wasn't just about Mark Sargent and the flat earth, you know, people. Like, they added some, like, actual, like, he's an astrophysicist and she's an, you know, she might know what she's talking about.
Yeah.
It made me feel like, I have to say, even though I thought they were all ridiculous, I kind of liked that they had a community because Mark inherently made me so sad. And that
right.
At the end, he's describing his fame and he says something about how, like, you know, people, I'm going to see these people and everyone's going to want to touch me to see if I'm real. And then you realize that the fantasy is just the touch of another human being. And then it's like, oh, well, Flat Earth made this happen. Been living in my mom's house for a long time.
It's just about the touch.
Yeah. It actually really felt, the stuff also when they were talking about their families is exactly what QAnon people say about, like, yeah, I mean, my family got sick of me talking about it, so I'm celebrating Thanksgiving alone, and I love it.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, that part, that made me feel some empathy. I was ready to just kind of treat this as, like, a Waiting for Guffman, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is, these people are just, and then they just kind of try to throw you an empathy curveball near the end, and I was just like, I wasn't really ready to view these people as real people yet, but okay, I see what you're saying. It is like, it's like the anti-vaxxer thing as well. Like, that's the other big one that's actually hurting people.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I'm like, I don't take a flu shot. I'm just like, fuck it, I'll just get sick.
Yeah,
I don't want to deal with it. I'm healthy, I'll just get sick.
It's, yeah, fine. You're not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm not having a baby. I don't think it's going to give me autism at 40. Like, you know? I'm just like, I don't like needles. That's a different thing. Yeah, it's weird, the rabbit holes. But yeah, you're right. It's like basically like what they did is they made the internet IRL. They just had a conference to, like, all the wing nuts can just hang out IRL. And, like, yes, society left them behind.
Yeah. And a big portion of the conference is just them watching YouTube videos anyway.
Yeah.
Which is what I think Mark and Patricia are judging at the end.
I, like, someone pointed out that there's a 12-year-old kid who asks him how high the dome goes.
Oh,
He's just like, how old are you? 12? That's great. Let's give him a round of applause.
Yeah.
Like, no answer.
Yeah, you really dodged that one.
Sean, you were also saying that a lot of NBA players believe in Flat Earth now.
Yeah, it was Kyrie Irving specifically famously talked about how he believed in the Flat Earth. And essentially the path he described is very much like Mark, where he's just like, well, you know, they're scientists. I just want people to think for themselves. And it turned out the source was him watching videos on YouTube and Instagram and then deciding that. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing about him doing that is he was born in Australia. So I don't know, like, where, how he thought.
He thought, like, that trip was pretty long, but it could have been just lateral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, to his, the reason I think he is maybe more susceptible to this, he actually did survive 9/11 as a small child.
Oh.
Like, his dad, like, worked. His dad did not die, but he, like, walked home to Brooklyn at, like, age 6 from the World Trade Center or something like that with his little brother. So I wonder if that maybe.
Yeah, he went down some weird YouTube holes. Like, yeah. Just because of that. Yeah.
He's like the Jaden Smith of the NBA, though. So just a lot of feelings, kind of a hippie, wants to make like eco communes. But he's always like, think for yourself, man.
Yeah. Right. But didn't Draymond Green jump in on that? Wasn't he a flat earther?
Yeah, so I don't know what Draymond's. Steph Curry made a joke about it this year and had to like talk to NASA and say like, no, I was just making fun of Kyrie and my buddy. Shaq was definitely kidding. I think Draymond might believe the Earth is flat. I think because Shaq was like making a movie with Kobe with Kyrie, so it was. I think he was just sort of like. Yeah, let's keep talking about this. Go see Uncle Drew.
that movie. By the way, Sean has a basketball podcast.
So it's called Round Ball Rock. Check it out.
Don't listen to it if you're a flat earther.
Well, there's a lot of athletes who don't believe in dinosaurs, I believe, too. And we saw a little bit of that.
They're always thanking God also. Athletes that thank God don't believe in dinosaurs.
So it came up that, there's a guy... They're talking – Marcellus Wiley, who they have a quick clip of on the show, is arguing with, I think, Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah, Chris Pratt. Yeah,
very likely to be a flat earther, honestly.
He doesn't believe in dinosaurs,
But Chris Pratt does believe in dinosaurs, and Marcellus Wiley's like, ah, you lost me. And
what if Chris Pratt was in all those Jurassic Park movies, didn't believe in dinosaurs?
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. Like, oh, it's just a tennis ball that I look at. It's got a dot painted on it.
Yeah.
Well, they find some tennis balls that are millions of years old. I'll believe that.
Yeah, but I guess dinosaur trutherism is relatively big among athletes, too.
Weird.
Flat Earth feels like it would be a hard sell to guys who are, going to – guys will go to China every summer,
mm-hmm.
and they know – they could look at what path the plane is taking to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
You're not going to Antarctica to play any games. Maybe they think because – they could go to China. That means it's flat. Maybe the other logic to it. But so much of physics just doesn't. Also, guys that handle spherical objects for a living do not believe in fucking globes.
Can you believe it rotates
Harlem
like that?
Disc trotters.
Imagine a guy spinning a ball on his finger and saying it's rotation.
I don't believe
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it should be at this angle. I don't know.
Do you guys think flat earthers are generally religious or generally just spiritual or agnostic or atheist? What do you think? Where do you think they fall in there?
That's interesting.
I mean, there's definitely it's weird because I don't really think the Bible implies a flat earth necessarily. It's more like I guess I don't really know. But I mean, definitely there was a lot of church doctrine during like the Middle Ages that was about that.
Well, even the heliocentric universe was like a new development, right?
Yeah.
Like the fact that the Earth went around the sun, that alone was like controversial in its time.
Yeah.
And that was post-biblical.
It's got to be mostly a religious thing because it's so much like young Earth, no dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting because Mark uses a lot of arguments that like priests who were also scientists would use right before the Renaissance, where they would just credit anything they didn't understand to the firmament.
Oh, yeah, the firmament's a big one, yeah.
And it's a really specifically like – I don't even know where the word firmament comes from, but it was definitely used to discredit Galileo.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like that one of the things was that one of the conspiracies was who's responsible for this, who benefits, and someone said the Catholic Church. I'm like, pretty sure the Catholic Church was not into the globe theory.
Yeah, round
either.
Earth. Yeah, like, oh, it's not the hand of God.
Didn't people have to recant and shit? So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just going back to thinking like when you're young and you don't know what anything is. And you're willing, like, you probably had thoughts like, why is the sky blue? You have thoughts like that all the time. And someone tries to explain it to you, like, well, it's refracted light. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what this ozone layer is. I don't know what any of this shit is. But just to, like, be an adult and never have, like, to be like, I'm going to go back and question some really fundamental things about how the universe works. I guess that's to be applauded on some level, mm-hmm. but then they just didn't have any guidance or something.
Yeah. It's also I like the guy who had the thing that was measuring how much the fiber octave.
Oh yeah, gyro. The laser, the gyroscope thing. And then he was like, then they're like, well, we tried encasing it in something, and then like bismuth. I'm like, I had to look up what bismuth was. I'm like, just like some kind of, you think just putting it in some crystals is going to like make it the earth not spin? Like, well, maybe it's the sky that's spinning, not the earth. I'm like, all right.
And then he makes a scientific presentation that's like, the sky is spinning at 15 degrees per hour.
Yeah. Like, well, like, yeah, that is kind of like what someone would have thought in like the 1200s or something, if they could have like had the technique of like, oh yeah, that's turning. We're not turning. That's turning.
I was gonna bring in a new character, because every great documentary has a villain. Uh-huh. And like,
oh, Billy, yeah.
Billy Mitchell is to King of Kong. Yeah. Math Powerland is to Behind the Curve.
What a crazy character. So his credit is he used to be a NASA illustrator, artist, which didn't make sense.
Also, was he doing stand-up comedy in the beginning? That's the other thing I was confused by. I'm like, was this like, I thought he was doing it as like a stand-up act.
Well, I saw a recent thing that had a picture of him advertising an open mic in Costa Mesa.
Oh, we should go to that.
We should definitely go to that.
Holy shit.
It's only about an hour. It's like near Irvine, pretty much, right? Yeah, I'll go to Costa Mesa.
So his name is Matt Boylan, but he goes by the name of Math Powerland.
Yeah.
that's like, what, Max Power? Wasn't that The Simpsons? Like,
yes. Homer's? Yes.
Oh, was it?
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, he was Max Power. Like, that's just awesome. Math Powerland. That's amazing. That's like the best name ever.
They should have. I mean, I can see why, how they, I'm sure they wanted to get him, and he just, they said there was an agreement that he wouldn't agree to the cut of the film.
Yeah, $5,000.
That's not much. You see how much like Billy McFarland got?
Yeah.
Oh, man. No.
I love that they put that on the screen, too. Mm-hmm. Like, his contract. Obligate, yeah. You know, that's awesome. That's very funny. Because this guy just seems like a giant douchebag. And mm-hmm. I was really hoping at the end he was going to crash the convention. I really thought that's where this was going.
I was hoping that too, because once they, yeah, God, that would have been great. But maybe he might be legally prohibited from doing that. I could see him maybe not being able to leave the state of California for whatever reason.
I also think that, like, he has, like, he's just doing YouTube videos, and then he has, like, a woman sitting on the couch on her phone behind him.
Yeah,
Just almost like, hey, I know people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I'm not in my mom's basement.
Yes, she's ignoring me.
I'm in Jessica's basement, you know.
Right. Well, and I feel like with those, like, max nerd types, like Billy Mitchell, like, he was, he always had his blonde bimbo girlfriend on his arm. Those like alpha nerd types are like, I got a hot girl in my life, so mm-hmm. you know, whatever, nerds. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like their things. Like, I date, you know. Mark's talking about trying to get touched by some other human being.
Yeah I mean that, yeah, the loneliness that you guys both kind of honed in on, that the loneliness, I wasn't thinking about it that much. But it is, yeah, like, it's very isolating, obviously, to, like, just, like, I have an aunt who voted for Trump, and I'm just, like, right now I'm just, like, I'm just not going to bring anything up around her that's not, like, super superficial. You're just, like, no, but we're not, I'm not, like, writing her off completely, but I'm just, like, okay, what happened here?
Is that, wait, are you equating that to loneliness?
Yeah, or like people getting isolated from their own families because they have a belief that is alienating to other people.
I really feel like one of the main themes of this doc is isolation. I mean, for me, it just was like, that was kind of what they were hammering, you know, and then ending it with like the community feel. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, that's kind of where this was all going. But yeah, I mean, there is definitely undercurrents of loneliness and isolation in this.
Yeah, well, you need...
Yeah, the thing, they even have that dating site.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not actually a dating site. Right. It's a Facebook group.
Right.
But did you take a look at it? It's
no,
it's not
you
really
looked
that
at
active.
It?
Yeah. It's,
oh, man.
How many? It's a closed group, but there are 3.2, the 3,200 members.
It's called Flat Earth Match, if you go to Facebook.
Yeah, it's run by a guy named John Perry.
It's a big community.
I mean, it's a lot of, like... Can I read you the description?
Yes.
It'll take a little bit.
Definitely do it.
Welcome to Flat Earth Match, International Flat Earth Dating and Community Network. Hello, my name is John Perry. I am admin and your fellow FE of the revolution, Flat Earther. Of the past several months, FE has not only opened my eyes to truth, but has liberated my mind with a new vision, and that is this. I believe FE means more than just Flat Earth. It is a journey, a discovery, and a revealing to what has been hidden. It is an epiphany and a sudden realization of all truths interconnected through the rabbit hole. FE is the awakening light which we have all seen and followed to escape the bondage and pollutions of the Matrix. Flat Earth Man is more than just dating. We are a family and a growing community of believers uniting together under the banner of truth as we are bonded by the same commonality. We are a safe and fun zone for the like-minded to potentially meet the love of your life, to grow in knowledge, and to establish and strengthen new friendships.
That's, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I bet there's some good memes in there, though. They probably make some really, really poorly photoshopped memes.
You know it, man.
And the first rule of the date is, we believe the God of the Bible, the one who created our flat earth.
Okay.
Any disrespect towards the Lord will not be tolerated and will cause you to be removed. So,
yeah.
Answer.
Yeah.
And the last two rules are, although this group does not support homosexuality, we do not condemn it either. As a community, we are to show forth love and welcome all FE. And the last rule is, have fun.
Have fun out there, people.
Oh, my God.
They don't condone it, but they don't...
endorse it?
What was that? Endorse
it? They don't. They're like, if you're gay and you believe in flat earth, that's okay.
You're good with us.
Flat earth trumps gayness, I think, is what they
say. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's intersectional. I believe that this is intersectional.
That's true.
As long as you believe in God and flat earth,
yeah.
Doesn't your color orientation, that could be complete. I also wonder how it seemed like it was mostly American. There was someone who came from like Australia, right?
Yeah.
That came to one of the conventions, but it feels American.
It feels
distinctly. This is a very American thing.
It also feels very white. There wasn't a lot of color.
No, there was not.
There was like a guy on stage at the big conference. Uh-huh. There was an African-American guy. There was a couple of I think there was a little bit of diversity. But I'm okay with that not being the most diverse group. Generally, flat earth rich Asians would not be a movie I want to see. Like, we all go to Singapore all the time, but, it's very short. And we don't go south of there.
Yeah. So what was the division? Maybe we could explain this to people who are listening that haven't quite seen the docu, but the division between Math Powerland and Mark Sargent, what was their big problem they had with each other?
Their beef?
Well, I know that Math Powerland eventually started asserting that Mark Sargent was a plant and that he was actually a Warner Brothers executive in disguise.
Or actor hired by Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
But I don't know why he thought it was Warner Brothers.
Yeah. It's also
that's a weird one.
Maybe Warner Brothers made First Man.
Oh yeah, maybe it's something to do with like the film the they had access to the sets.
Yeah.
They could make the moon landing fake, maybe that's part of it. I think it's just that he was the OG new flat earther, and then Mark became like the commercialized shiny face. It's like the true artist. And then the person that kind of like does the watered down version of what they do for ego.
Yeah.
I'm like, they clearly both did it for ego. So that's what's unclear. So it's just like two competing egos. That's what I can tell.
Math Powerland thinks of himself as Nirvana, and Mark Sargent is like Bush.
Yeah. I was going to say, another grunge band. But yeah, Bush works. Yeah.
I got a little John McAfee from Math Powerland.
Oh,
like slight rich crazed man kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think so for sure. And like aggressive, but not in a way that necessarily makes sense.
You're right. Yeah. Misplaced aggression. Yeah. That's the kind of guy that wouldn't show up at a convention and be like, fuck, he'd be like safe behind his keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if he had actually met any, it was unclear if he'd met anyone in person, like if him and Mark had ever had actual, you know, IRL experiences with each other. But
yeah, it's weird because they, I mean, it seems like a lot of, I mean, obviously they shot a lot of it in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. but yeah, Matt Powerland's out there. He's in the mics, clearly.
I think we gotta. I do want to see him do stand up now. Actually, oh, absolutely. It's a very. I had this idea a long time ago about just like a guy, because you know how open mics are like everyone seems crazy and it's very low stakes. Uh-huh. I like the idea. An idea for like a guy who's like an ex-CIA guy who goes to an open mic and then just spills like, oh, this is who shot Kennedy. This is how it happened. This is, you know, like just drops all that stuff and then everyone's just like. Yeah, I was looking at my phone. I wasn't paying attention to what you were saying. Which would be like Matt Powerland. I mean, his whole story is that he was at a NASA party and they were just like, oh yeah, there's his flat. And I'm like, I believe that they were just fucking with him because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
That's totally plausible that some guys at NASA started this whole thing just to make fun of one dude.
The craziest guy in the office.
Yeah.
Also, he said it was a high-level NASA party out in the Hamptons, which I wasn't sure.
I guess this is a time. I know there's going to be some FE people that listen to this, and this is when I reveal that my aunt worked for NASA for a very long time, and my sister worked for NASA in Mountain View.
Wow.
And NASA means deceive.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, actually, it's NASA, but it's close enough.
Yeah. NASA Bridges with Don Johnson.
Love the close enough scientific inquiry. It's close enough. It's just
yeah.
Well, linguistics isn't a hard science, as you know. You know
right.
No, and I also have been to SETI. That's something that people, I bring it up whenever this type of topic comes up. I mean, I guess I could have been super duped by SETI, but everyone there is at least working. You'd think that these people would believe in aliens, though. But I guess they don't. They just believe in God being real into flat stuff and not aliens. So I think the alien conspiracies are much more interesting than the flat Earth conspiracies.
Well, they might think that aliens are some sort of subset of the great Hollywood production that's going on under the globe.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, apparently the moon and the stars are part of the production.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wasn't that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Truman Show.
You could probably have aliens.
I feel like I didn't think the Truman Show was going to be so influential in this direction, if anything.
Yeah,
at first, I was like, the Truman Show, that's like that movie, that's a commercial movie with Jim Carrey where there's like a reference to Ingmar Bergman. Early on. Like, and then people got something totally different out of it than that. They're not like, oh, we're going to check out the works of Ingmar Bergman. No, I'm just going to think that everything is designed to punk me.
Yeah.
That's the solipsism, I guess, like the narcissism involved just doesn't really. I'm narcissistic and I believe that I can be paranoid, but like to believe that everything is a set designed to just fuck with you is like another level, in my opinion.
Yeah, that is another level of crazy. What did you guys think about the? It was confusing to me. It seemed to be like a science office party for scientists at the end.
Oh, at the end. I think that might have been Barney's Beanery in Pasadena.
Oh, wow. Because
the JPL,
JPL
lab is over there. And I'm like, who goes to Barney's Beanery? There was no one there when I went there.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, if a bunch of scientists were having like kind of like a nerd out session. I don't know if they timed it to be exactly the same time. Five blocks away, there was a Flat Earth meetup.
Yeah, and I wonder if maybe the filmmakers prodded that into existence well, we're interviewing all you guys. Where do you guys like to hang out?
Yeah, throw together some PowerPoints.
It seemed odd to me. Like when I was watching, I'm like, what is going on? And then they have that one cat, the guy that's an astrophysicist who's just like, we can't be mean to people that think differently than us. And like, it just seemed like such a weird soliloquy at the end of this doc.
Yeah. It felt out of character.
I was kind of confused about
it. Yeah. It was like sort of like,
yeah, it did.
It was sort of like, you know, just I felt like an afterthought to me of like what this, here, make fun of these people for 70 minutes. Here's like 5 minutes.
Right.
Of like, well, maybe we shouldn't make fun of them. But anyway, here's
more science. They're just really stupid.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess I see what he was saying. And I thought that was an interesting point to include, because I'm like, I'm here to make fun of people. That's why I clicked on this.
Yeah, like this is this is definitely not a learn about things documentary.
No,
this is a like very very like Trekkies like.
Yeah. Oh, Trekkies. Yeah.
Oh, but that's such a good documentary.
Yeah. I mean, the diversity within the movement I found interesting, because he even compares it to Monty Python's Life of Brian, where, like, dropping the sandal, and then they use that clip and they just keep cutting. I'm like, this is about you? You're saying this is about you? I'm this dumb? Those dumb people in that movie? That's pretty much, like, what I do. Like, everyone just had a different interpretation.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Man, I really like what Mark was hinting at. He dropped that teaser when people asked if he was going to go on a voyage to try to find the end of the Earth.
Oh, yeah.
And he was kind of winking about how, like, the funding had come through, which is also the plot of the third Narnia book, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
He's just going into a wardrobe somewhere in England.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing.
But it definitely is like, oh, this is how he would die. Yeah. Like it's Antarctica. Pretty safe what he's doing right now. Yeah. But once he starts, like, I was a little worried about the laser, to be honest.
I thought someone's eye was
doing. These are people that weren't caring about eye protection at any point. Even the guy doing all the custom stuff was,
I like that. Also, yeah, he goes to see the clips and gets something totally different out of it than the rest of us. Like, he has a very – he's like, huh, okay, great. Good one. Basically, like, good one, whoever's the powers that shouldn't be. Good job with that eclipse.
Yeah, and he's, like, awed by the eclipse, but only because of the level of trickery involved.
Yeah, there's no Occam's razor. Yeah. Obvious solution to this, and like, well, maybe it's the moon in front of the sun.
I would like a flat Earth t-shirt. That'd be pretty sweet. Yeah, I wouldn't mind some of that swag.
Particular design, like the I Am Mark Sargent design.
Not that one, but the other one that they were wearing. With the flat looking horizon with the whatever they had.
I mean, the guy. Oh, that brings up Chris Pontius.
There we go.
The craftsman.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Kind of the coolest dude in this movie.
Oh, absolutely. Where it almost felt like, is he a true believer, or did he realize that Mark alone would probably pay him like $5,000 a year for these artisan crafts?
Yeah, I didn't check if Mark has a Patreon, but I'm pretty sure he does.
Oh yeah.
No. I would imagine. Yeah, no, Chris Pontius does that was like the part I liked the most. I'm like, oh, this became a different Netflix show all of a sudden about woodwork. And I'm like, oh, that's for like Tim Taylor style. Like, oh, yeah, he just like, you know, makes nice little models of the flat earth in his garage. And
the electric motorcycle made out of wood. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I know that thing was great. I think wood should be put on more metal objects. I don't know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just thinking of
refrigerator. Yeah, no, that's – I mean, I could watch a documentary. Talk about Pitch a Doc. Like, I could watch a doc probably about that guy. You know?
Oh, yeah.
All the gadgets he makes. He's phenomenal. Like, making all those flat globes for people. He's probably the only one making money in the whole flat earth society by selling his wares.
Right. I mean, I think his overhead seems like it would be a lot, but it's when he shows you all the mechanisms, it's like, it's just like a clock mechanism.
Yeah. It's
he's like the painting of the painting might be the more labor intensive part, but he was cool. His motorcycle was cool. I would like ride that motor. I would check out that motorcycle. Even if the dude was just this is a flat earth motorcycle. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to look at your motorcycle. It's fine. The back tire, very fat back tire. I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very bad. Did you guys go and watch any of their stuff on YouTube? Any of the Patricia and Mark stuff?
I didn't have time.
I looked at Patricia's Instagram and it was like less interesting than I thought.
Yeah.
Right.
She's too businessy.
You think?
She's very businessy. She has a really nice place. That's the thing that really stuck out in my head. I was like, her place, aside from the 10 cats or whatever, like, it's a really, like, it looks like a nice apartment or condo or whatever she has.
I'm sorry. I keep calling him Mark Albert. His name is Mark Sargent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mark Sargent.
Yeah, yeah. Were you thinking of Laura Alberts, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking.
I am Mark Sargent. Mark Sargent does seem like he should just be a techno guy or something like that. Also, Chris Pontius has the name of a guy from Jackass.
Yes.
This is also hilarious.
Who also has long hair, yeah.
Who looks more like math than him. Yeah. Who else do we have in here? Bob Nodal. Is that the guy who is like the IT guy at the conference in Denver? He's like, I run the IT for this small town. Kind of big dude. And his wife is involved in it, too. I think that's Bob Nodal.
I think he's the guy that... I really thought that he looked like Christian Bale in like a body transformation role of getting like very skinny and angular.
Oh no, that guy.
That guy. Maybe I'm thinking of the
wrong guy.
That's
the guy who presents at the I thought that was really interesting. I'm like, you should just cast all these people in other stuff. This is one of those documentaries where people are just like the casting. The conference in Denver is kind of earlier on. There's a bunch of empty seats, but it's like the fact that this many people came to this is like very noteworthy. I found that pretty. I found it funny. I still am laughing at these people. I don't know. I mean. I'm just not.
I think they deserve a little shame.
Yeah.
I mean, for Christ's sakes, they believe that the Earth's flat. One of my favorite people in this was Tim Urban. Sounds like a country music star, but he's the science writer that he basically is our common sense narrator that keeps coming back in.
Yeah,
you know,
the journalist.
Just like, yeah, you could, you know, throw away science if you want and you can explain away whatever you want. So it's not surprising that people believe in flat Earth, you know, like people will believe whatever they want to believe, essentially.
Yeah. I also like that there was a guy from an astronaut. There was just a straight up astronaut, Scott Kelly, who is just like, when's the last time I saw that? Well, last time I was in space, someone mentioned this shit to me.
Yeah.
So funny. I know. And his brother's Mark Kelly. He's running for Senate in Arizona.
Oh.
Oh. Cool.
Did not know.
Yeah. That. Yeah, that's Mark Kelly.
Is it Gabby Gifford's seat?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Wow.
His wife.
Oh, that's right. That's Gabby Gifford's husband.
Yeah.
Oh, so Gabby Gifford's brother-in-law is Scott Kelly? I feel like this is just going to put her in more danger again.
I know, definitely. They're like, obviously this is a conspiracy. He's a paid actor from Warner Brothers.
Gabby Gifford wasn't shot. Yeah, exactly.
They're going to cast this doc, and they're like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've all been cast, man. It's all my mom got replaced. Yeah. Oh, man.
Mark Sargent does not appear to have an individual Patreon, but he appears on a great deal of other flat earthers Patreon only content.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, Mark's got his mom to pay his bills. Do you think he lives there?
I absolutely think he lives there. Yeah.
I think he lives with his mom.
Yeah.
For sure.
For the last 2.5 years. Or no, he's only been a flat earther for 2.5 years.
Oh, did he like lose his job or something?
I think he had been there for a while and then he got into the flat.
I love earther. Mark's mom though.
Me too.
Mark's mom, bless her soul. Do you think she would have been one of these moms that let Michael Jackson take Mark when he was a kid?
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, because she's like, well, at least someone's touching him.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Abducted and not plain sight.
Yeah.
It's flat. that's insane. That's awesome. So speaking of cast this duck, why don't we cast this duck?
Gotta cast this duck. Cast this duck.
What do you guys have? Who would you cast for the biopic of Behind the Curve?
I got one that will maybe seem insulting, but I don't mean it to be. my pick for Patricia Steer, Laura Keitlinger.
I thought so too.
Okay, that's
yeah, I was like Laura Keitlinger. Well, because she
give
has
her YouTube
like
a channel.
She's also like kind of cool in the same way Patricia Steer is
this.
like knows how to act cool-ish, even though she's saying crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, she could pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Mark Sargent could be played by John Carroll Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
Who is probably the guy who's probably the Zodiac Killer in Zodiac and is in a million things.
The guy who's not David Koechner.
The guy who's not David Koechner. Yeah, that's a very good description of him.
The guy, we always usually work David. I feel like there was a bunch of David Koechners in this.
So. Oh, so many David Koechners. Yeah. Did you have any others, Sean?
I thought Hannelore Gerling Dunsmore could be like a young Kate Winslet. She has a very like Winslet spotless mind kind of vibe.
Yeah, little pink streak in her hair. Yeah.
Dr. Spiros Michalkis. I think that would actually be a good M. Night Shyamalan. That would be his direct cameo.
His cameo. Yeah.
Tim Urban, maybe Jake Johnson or BJ Novak, someone who seems like the right kind of disdainful. Nathan, I thought would be the guy who plays Renee Zellweger's nanny in Jerry Maguire.
I don't remember.
Maybe it was because Mark was talking about Jerry Maguire.
You've done the most thorough cast of stock.
Yeah.
There's so many characters in here.
I had an argument about Math Powerland.
Yeah.
We're Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh.
And then my girlfriend was saying she thought Joel McHale in a transformative role.
Oh, yeah.
And then Dr. Joe Pierre, Miguel Ferrer, and the Flat Earth. What's his name? Chris Pontius. At first, I thought Shea Whigham, and then I think actually Jackass Chris Pontius.
Because
he's definitely been on a motorcycle like that.
Yeah.
I like that you did a lot of the people that were on the science side.
Yeah. And I thought there were like a lot of really good faces.
And then everyone on the other side just play themselves.
Yeah.
Really, when you just cast them.
I couldn't think of a good one for Dr. Per Espen Stoknes.
Killian Murphy. G from Fugazi.
That would be good.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of works.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think I would have Michael Chiklis, the commish, as Commander Scott Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
And I
have
Mark.
Did you have? Have a Mark Sargent.
Yeah.
Paco, did you have a Mark Sargent? Because
I did. Glenn Beck.
I can say very much like he has the same kind of like potential for wonder at mundane things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the childlike stare off into the distance, the blue eyes, the gray hair, the conservatism, the conspiracies, and for Patricia Steer, I had Catherine Hellman.
That would be great.
Yes. In Brazil.
Gotcha.
Yes,
definitely
exactly.
With her face pulled back and pinned.
Yeah.
R.I.P. the great Catherine Hellman. Mona. That was a different voice than anyone on the show. I was also surprised that Daniel J. Clarke was. Yeah, I think we mentioned that he worked on Ugly Delicious also. Which is I guess camera work. Just like reality, capturing weird reality. I don't know. I liked Ugly Delicious, but it's very different genre of thing.
Yeah.
So that's the cast of stock. I didn't have anyone else. I just had the Lord Keitlinger in the chamber. That was all I got.
But I wrote that one down. I was like immediately like she could do it. I believe in Laura.
And so let's play pitch this doc. Do you have an idea for a doc that should be made, Sean?
Yeah, so I have one, and the impediment in it is I don't think the main subject would be very inclined to participate. But it's like something I've found really fascinating, and I don't feel like there's a lot of information about it. And it is about the period of time where Garth Brooks turned himself into Chris Pratt.
That was
holy
great.
Shit.
Yeah, he like has a wig and a soul patch, and he's not really making country music. He's making like rock music. And I think the idea behind it is he doesn't want to be popular, or like he wants to see how he can do without something being labeled as a Garth Brooks album, and the answer is not very well. I think there's a point where he hosts Saturday Night Live as Garth Brooks and the musical guest is Chris Gaines.
I remember that,
and I don't think Garth Brooks would ever talk about it, but I just would want to interview everybody else involved in it and like what was it like to be an SNL cast member, and like did he make you pretend it was a different guy?
That would have been like maybe Bob Odenkirk era, right?
I think it's like late 90s yeah. that this happens.
Like, did he have two dressing rooms?
Yeah, exactly. Like, are you? Does he make you call him Chris?
And who introduced him? Yeah. The host introduces the
right. Did they do a trick like when they had Dana Carvey play Ross Perot and George Bush at the same time?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. It's gotta be something he.
And did it hurt his career?
I think it did because it was like all monster hits. And I guess probably the record industry was changing a little bit, but I think he probably lost a lot of
country fans.
Yeah.
He didn't gain any rock
fans. He definitely gained no one. He maybe Chris lost. Yeah.
No fans. All right.
And maybe it didn't matter because he was so successful, but it really feels like he tried to pull the
He's trying to pull the wool over people's eyes, though. Like, people don't like that. Like,
but then
that's not me.
Like, is it like Childish Gambino? What is? It's very just a wig. He didn't really try that hard to fool.
The music is not really that different either.
Yeah.
So it's just it's very strange.
I would watch like definitely a short. I think that could be like a half hour probably.
Yeah.
But
yeah, just seeing what you could find out about it because then he just quietly. Just never speaks about it again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I see him do anything anywhere. But yeah, that's definitely an interesting one. Paco, did you have an idea?
Yeah, I mean, mine's slightly creepy, but I think there should be, and there probably is going to be a documentary about this. But Jared from Subway, I would like to know a lot more about what the fuck happened there and why Subway's still fucking schlepping sandwiches and nothing really happened to Subway.
Oh, yes.
Apparently they knew or they had an inkling.
Yeah.
And what I read about how they found the evidence in his house is amazing.
Oh, because like a thumb drive hidden somewhere?
Well, they had dogs that could sniff technology.
That feels so crazy.
They found a flash drive in his wall. He had a secret compartment in his wall where he kept the flash drives, and the dog sniffed it out.
I did hear
so. So crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and all his. Yeah.
Did you have any title ideas for that one? I feel like there's a lot of potential Jared titles.
Yeah. Maybe we make it your way. I don't know. What is Subway's?
Well, I've heard that even the Jared origin story is like creepy because the big story is like he's at Indiana University. He's very heavy and he starts eating two Subway subs a day. What I had heard from a friend who also went to Indiana University, what Jared's real business was, he would rent people porn out of his dorm room. And because there was a Subway at the bottom of the building, he would eat at Subway because he needed to be manning the DIY adult video store desk whenever anyone wanted to rent some. Yeah.
Wow.
Pre-internet business, I would say.
Yeah. Before Cosmo.com or anything. Yeah. Oh my God.
That's perfect. See, yeah, I want to know more about this whole fucking thing. I think it would make an amazing true crime documentary.
That would do great on Netflix.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. I think there could be some pun about big pants in there.
Oh,
there
yeah.
could be footlong puns. Yeah. There's a lot of puns you could go with there. But nothing as good as Behind the Curve. Maybe Behind the Curve could also be the jury. Oh man, now that I had one in the chamber, but now I want to switch it up. I've been actually thinking that someone should make. Do you guys remember Cosmo.com? You were in San Francisco at the right time for that to happen.
I used them.
Do you remember this, Sean?
I don't remember Cosmo.
Okay, so it's Kozmo, and it was one of the first delivery services, and it was scooter based, and they were just literally like 15 years too early for what they were doing.
Wow.
They would deliver you snacks. They would deliver you video games, VHS tapes.
Blank DVDs.
Now I kind of remember this again. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I knew a guy who rode for them. And of course, back then I was like, do you have insurance? Are you covered? He's like, no, I absorb all the risk. I'm like, oh, they're going to learn from that.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to learn for sure. So Cosmo is kind of like one of the first of the new genre of like, precarious worker internet companies that were just delivering shit to your house. And like, they were just like too ahead of their time.
You could get a 2 liter of Pepsi, some batteries, some blank CDRs, and some porn.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And they were there. And it was 20 minutes or less was their thing, which meant they had to have warehouses in these high rent areas of major cities. And it just didn't work.
Yeah. I think they were only in New York City, like Manhattan and San Francisco, maybe.
And maybe LA, I think. I think they're in
LA
three cities.
Is too far for that to work, you would think. But then I thought that about other things down here. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So I think Cosmo would be a good cautionary tale of like early internet stuff. Yeah. So that's a documentary I want to see.
Well, I like the game that you introduced. What would you call yours?
I don't know. I guess just like ahead of the curve. I don't know. It's something stupid.
Yeah.
And what about your Chris Gaines documentary?
Pain and Gaines. Because like something happened that created that character, like some deep moment of sadness.
Yeah, for sure.
Paco, about yours, I think the other Jared thing that would be fascinating is the amount that he lived his life having to remain skinny, like mandated by contract. Like, what was
corporate
corporate skinny. Like, was it like ephedra? Was he like, what was he doing to keep the weight off all the time? And
also, even just like someone who's willing to turn themselves into a corporate mascot for a living. That's also bizarre.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. So let's end this with our questionnaire.
Oh, yeah.
We have Sean Keen here. Sean, what's your profession?
I guess comedian, but also I do freelancing and podcasting and odd jobs. Every comedian's
also, like, we didn't mention how we ran into you.
Oh, like, yeah, that's right. It was the weirdest.
That is weird.
Oh, yeah. Should I tell?
Yeah. Quickly.
So I was babysitting and I had given the kid I was watching some just raspberries at like one of those Whole Foods 360 things. And I hear from the back, "Help." And I look, and her face
Southern
is just
child.
Covered with, you can't say L's, just like covered in, it looked like a zombie movie crime scene, just all these, just covered in raspberries. So I just pulled over to like clean her up. Unbeknownst to me, I was following Paco's car directly, and you had just driven down all the way from San Francisco to do this. I turn right behind your car. I get out of the car and I'm just trying to desperately clean up this incredibly dirty child. And I'm outside of George's house.
And then you see Paco.
And I'm like,
did Sean have a kid?
Yeah, I'm like,
that's what I thought. I get out of the car and I see you cleaning a strange child on the side of the road.
In my car, and like, I kind of look like all babies anyway. So any child that I have is potentially.
Could be related. Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so what's your hometown?
Pleasant Hill, California, which is in the East Bay.
Got
next
it.
To Walmart.
Person you are most mistaken for?
I would say there's a comedian named Timmy Williams who's in The Whitest Kids You Know, and not so much now, but about 5 years ago, we really, really looked similar to the point where once I was at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in Portland, which is where he lived at the time and maybe still lives. And I could not understand why this girl was paying so much attention to me and kept saying things like, "I can't believe you're here." And I was like, "Well, I am here now." And and then like she said something that was too personal. And I was like, "Oh, I know who you think I am." And then it was just this horrified, like, "Oh, my God."
I don't see it personally.
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Timmy Williams. Yeah. And then I also look like David Mitchell from Peep Show.
Oh, the lead.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then obviously, and anybody, just because I am a short, pudgy white guy with a beard, people will say Zach Galifianakis, but I don't actually look like
I don't think that is accurate.
I don't actually.
I know a lot more people that look like that.
Yeah, people look way more like him. Also, I can grow 40% of the facial hair that he can, so it's not even Yeah.
Right.
The peep show one, I could see someone who's dumb thinking that.
Yeah, and I look a little bit like David Cameron, the former prime minister.
What's a pet peeve of yours?
Pet peeve. People referring to energy almost in any way that isn't like a fossil fuel or, you know.
Big dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Any kind of energy.
Yeah. Also, just big dick energy in general. People with big dicks tend to be pretty lazy, I think. Like, it's not like an energetic trait.
It means you can kind of kick back a little bit.
Yeah, you don't have to work as hard. You can't run as easily.
Yeah.
What do you never travel without?
I guess a phone charger now. That's such a sad answer.
Leave your phone at home, just have a charger. Yeah. If you need a top up, I'm here.
I just want to help out people trying to unplug myself, but yeah. I know it's tough.
Who is your celebrity crush?
Who is my celebrity crush? Ooh. For a while, it was indie musician Mira. I like thought she was like the greatest. And I read, probably not interested in me. I have – who's like my – it was like Mira for a while, though.
Really? Like, what era were you into Mira? Just up until recently?
No. I just didn't really know very much about her. I was like, I knew her parents were from Israel. I just loved her voice, and she was really cute. That was the extent of it. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. It's just such cool stuff. And, like, I think she might live in San Francisco.
She did for a minute. I think she was dating a woman.
Dating a woman. I think it's pretty much always dated women.
Yeah. I was not 100% clear on that. I have met her in different circumstances before, but I don't really know her particularly well.
Yeah.
But I have friends that know her pretty well. But yeah, she used to do music with Tao Nguyen. But I don't know. Like, I don't think they were a couple. But maybe
I think
they just did music together.
Yeah, I think so too. But I was really
Now the host of Song Exploder.
Right,
Tao Nguyen is now the new Song Exploder host.
Yeah, but I'm like, I'm really in on pretty much every stage of her career as well.
I haven't been following the more recent stuff, but I would like that Cold Cold Water album or whatever.
Yeah, that one's great. Yeah, yeah. And I think I have her most recent album.
Yeah, she's been doing more pop stuff. Yeah.
But that is probably a misguided celebrity crush, I would say.
Hannah?
Yeah. And where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Prime Minister of England?
Yeah, Prime Minister of England. I think I will probably be working on a television show of some kind or like, you know, something like that, writing or producing or something like that. You know, something's going to hit, right, guys?
You have some experience in the TV world.
Yeah. And I think it's probably most likely that I'll still end up doing something that's, I mean, hopefully a more lucrative you know, like the same kind of like I feel like I do a lot of stuff. It just isn't always you know, stuff that's on has a salary, you know.
Yeah. You'd be like, I'll be wiping berries off a child's face in front of George's lawn.
Yeah. But I still feel like I would be a good like not too bitter but jaded, like you know, mid-40s comedy guy. Like, I think I'd be good at that. I'd be like nice to 23-year-olds and never hit on them.
That's a good rule.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's a good rule.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so what's coming up next? Why don't you plug what you have coming up next and where people can find you on social media?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you can see me at the business every Monday at Little Joy in Los Angeles.
Echo Park.
You can read. I'm going to have some NBA stuff on Yard Barker. I have a thing that I'm writing called Tankapalooza about all the teams that are losing on purpose. The Round Ball Rock podcast is at Round Rock Pod on Twitter. It's like all very unserious basketball stuff. We try not to talk about games or strategy or anything.
It's not just like recapping and stuff.
No, it's more like we had an episode where we matched every NBA general manager with a different movie sex scene. If you're curious,
and that's Dave Schilling used to do that with you.
Dave Schilling used to do it with us, yeah. But he is working for the WWE now and moving to Stamford, Connecticut. So it's me and Joey Devine.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And then nice. I think we're doing a live Roundball Rock in San Francisco, which is going to be the second Thursday in April.
Oh, cool.
But I don't know the name. It's going to be at a clothing store in the Mission, but I can't remember the name. So it's a terrible plug. Oh, and check out the Everything Report on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. You guys do that. You do that with the Alex Cole.
Alex Cole, Kevin Kamiya.
He's my neighbor.
Eddie Garcia. Oh, yeah. Right by
I
you
guess
guys.
All of those, maybe not Alex, but I think Kevin live right
there. Chris and Kevin live really close to you. Yeah, and the dress-up gang guys.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Yeah. I run into them on the street occasionally.
It's a power neighborhood that you live
in. I know. Through. I lucked out, really. Yeah. I could see any comedian wiping berries off a child's face. I think it's James Adomian walking around here the other day. Did not have a child. All right. So that's, Sean Keane, thank you for being
talking
Flat Earth with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love your Free Darko t-shirt. I just saw that.
Oh, thank
for
you.
Only, for all Detroit Pistons fans out there.
Yeah, thank you. Kill the ball.
We'll take a photo of that as well and put that on the socials. Thanks. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show was engineered by Will Scoville.
If you want us to cover a doc, have suggestions for guests, or you just want to reach out, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.